Welcome to the Innovation World Podcast. Innovation World is your go-to source for all things innovation, invention, and entrepreneurship. Our website is www.innovationworld.org.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Launch Network. This is Carmine Denisco, your co-host for today's show of Innovation World. It's an awesome show. First season, we've covered a lot of ground. We've done a lot of things. We've talked to some great inventors, innovators, some people that are all over the world. We've done some really cool stuff. I'm going to bring on my co-host, Ms. Julie Shively. Hey, Julie, what's going on?
Hey, Carmine. Nice to hear your voice again. Saw you went bike riding again over the weekend. I mean, this is every weekend, right? You go on a long trip, you and your wife?
We try to. I mean, down here in Florida, we usually catch some rain sometimes. But anytime it's nice out, we try to go on a little ride and see what we can explore. We mostly try to pick out coffee shops or some places.
That's
that we
what
have
I was going to say. Yeah, there's always a coffee shop involved, which I still contend that your ride home might be a lot faster than your ride there with that all that coffee in you.
You know, you're right. It always does feel like we get home faster.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of stuff going on right now for Innovation World. Real excited about it, too. I love that we've taken the opportunity through kind of this world crisis to really focus in on young innovators around the world. I mean, it just makes everything brighter and makes me feel a lot better every week, especially when we do the podcast. I always anticipate it with great excitement, but then when I'm done with the podcast, I feel super about having learned something new from another young innovator. But let me tell you real quick about some of the things going on, and then we'll go ahead and meet a young innovator for today. July 9th and 10th, we host the next Global Innovation Field Trip. Last field trip, we had 103 presenters, 81 presentations from 15 different countries, and we expect to have that or more this field trip. If you are a young innovator and want to present your idea and share it with people across the world, especially students across the world, just go on the innovationworld.org website and click on the Global Innovation Field Trip and read a little bit about it and sign up. If you're a program leader who supports innovators, you as well can sign up and talk a little bit about your program, maybe bring one of your innovators on too. In addition to that, we have selected our three student innovator co-hosts that will host with us on July 9th and 10th. And we are taking applications for the September and November field trip. So if you're a student innovator and you really like to talk to other innovators, this is your chance to kind of shine the light on you. You can help us host a segment of the field trip. So again, you can find that on innovationworld.org. And just posted this week, we have some summer challenges that we're working on in conjunction with eventfuture.global, and it's three challenges for kids from 9 to 14 years old. You can sign your kids up for one, two, or all three of the challenges, and they look like they're going to be a ton of fun. So go on to the Innovation World website to take a look at that. And last, if you want to be a part of our podcast series, as Miss Lily will be in a few minutes, All you have to do is go to our website, click on podcast series, and send us a note that you're interested. Now, we are booked all the way through the end of our series one, which ends the 29th of July, but we're going to start taking reservations to join us for our September series two program. So we're real excited about that. I'm sorry, I took up a lot more time than I anticipated there.
Hey, Julie, real quick. What's the deal with the challenges? Who makes those up? Those things are pretty cool.
Actually, our partners from InventFuture.global created the challenges that we're talking about, and there's a three-series challenge. There's an idea challenge where you're going on and talking about different ideas you came up with on a rainy day, or what bugs you on a rainy day, and it's It's pretty cool because it's a forum where you will be in a judging circle still. You'll be talking about your ideas. You don't have to have a prototype for this one, but you'll do a PowerPoint presentation and you'll present to your whole group. You could have kids from China there, the UK there in your group. You could have kids from Indonesia, all over the world. We'll mix them up the best that we can. Second challenge is, let's see, you've got the idea challenge. Then you have the talk. That one's all about pitching. Pitching your ideas might not be the same as, you know, not the idea necessarily you had for the last challenge, but it could be. And again, you'll be in a judge circle online. You'll have kids from around the world. As part of your judge circle, you'll critique them. They'll critique you. The judges will give you feedback. And then the last one is an invention convention challenge. And this one, you do have to have a prototype. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. Something else to do this summer to keep your invention skills going.
Wow. Very cool stuff.
So, and hopefully our next guest will sign up for some of that too. You never know. I did hear just before he came on that she and her big sister are both our inventors, and they both signed up for the July 9th and 10th Global Innovation Field Trip, which is really cool. So you'll get to hear a little bit more from them on July 9th or 10th. With that, I would like to introduce Miss Lily Zazula. And Lily is from Connecticut, if I remember correctly. And she has an invention that led her to Innovation World that I want her to talk a little bit about. And then we know all sorts of other things about Lily we want her to talk about too. But Lily, if you don't mind saying hi to everybody, tell them what grade you're in, what school you're in, what cool program you went through in Connecticut that where you invented, and we'll go from there.
Okay. I'm Lily Zazula, and I'm in fourth grade going into fifth grade. I'm 10 years old, and my invention's Easy Energy.
That was Easy Energy?
Yeah.
Okay, and did you started through a program before we came to you, or you came to us, you went through a program. What was the name of the program you went through in Connecticut?
The Connecticut
Invention Convention. Now, have you done that program more than once before?
Yeah, last year I invented thermal thumb.
Thermal thumb? Yeah. Tell me about thermal thumb. What is that?
It's like a heat warmer for your thumb, because I ski a lot in the winter. My thumbs always get cold because the heat pack only warms up my fingers and not my thumb. So I put like a thumb sleeve, and I put iron shavings in it, which are the same thing that are inside the heat warmers. And I put another thumb sleeve in there. And then my mom sewed them together, and I put it in this package that sucked all the air out of it. So when you rip it open, the air hits it, and then it becomes hot for your thumbs.
And is that how the rest of the hand warmers work?
Yeah.
And why didn't they include a thumb?
I don't know.
I'm not a skier. I'm not that kind of skier. So, I mean, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So you'd come out with all your fingers worked really good, the digits were working great, except your thumbs were froze.
Yeah, and I had to go inside a lot because my thumbs, like, were burning so much from the cold.
And that's got to affect your ability to do any kind of touchpad with your thumb, like your phone or your tablet. Really interesting. So last year you had that invention with the invention convention locally. And then this year you decided to invent something totally different called Easy Energy. And why don't you tell us a little bit about Easy Energy and what it does?
So it's an alternative energy source created when a car rolls over one of my Easy Energy rollers, creating energy.
So do you have a prototype in front of you somewhere?
Yeah.
Can you show us what it looks like?
Looks like this.
Can you show us how your model works?
Yeah. So my car right now rolls over the rollers like this. And then you can see the light bulb that lights up. that shows that energy is being made. And yeah.
So how do you think this would, so where would you install something like this?
So I would install Easy Energy like near places that you would slow down, like easy passes, speed bumps, on and off ramps.
Okay. I mean, I could see my tires getting on it and me just not going anywhere. So it has to be something that you're moving over, and then the movement of your tires forces like a wheel to move, like a cylinder of some kind to move.
Yeah.
And that conducts the energy then?
If you like, so my prototype, it only has one Easy Energy roller right here.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life, it would be one long one going across. And it would have to be level, because if it was too high, the car would run over it. But if it was too low, it wouldn't like get roll at all. So the whole thing would be level to make it roll, and the car wouldn't bump into it.
So I don't know how many cars are still rear wheel drive only. But that's what I was envisioning. If my car, if only the back wheels really generated power, and I got stuck on it, then I would just be sitting there going. So you must have some way around that.
It's like a speed bump.
Okay.
And it's like a level speed bump. So.
Okay. So anywhere where you have a slow down opportunity, then you have an opportunity to put in something that's like a speed bump. You know where else I'm thinking is like anywhere there's a toll booth on the roads, because they're going really slow and it's just like the last step after they pay, the gate goes up and they have to bump over this, just slightly bump over this thing that helps generate energy.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Carmine?
I think that's, I'm sitting here listening to it, and at first I was like, what the heck? But it totally makes sense that we might as well, while we're sitting in traffic or while we're rolling through something, try to generate a little bit of energy to, you know, power either the city or regenerate energy. But it's a pretty cool little idea. I thought it was a great idea when we talked about it, Julie, during the competition. But, you know, now listening to Lily explain it, it makes a lot more sense now. It's always great to hear from the inventor, because when I look at an invention or hear or read about an invention, I might not get the whole picture until it gets explained. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty cool little idea.
Yeah, I made this invention because of fossil fuels. Because I was in class one day, and my teacher was telling me, I was telling our class about fossil fuels and the pros and cons about them, and one of the major con for global warming, which is like when the fossil fuels, which are like coal, oil, and gas, we melt them and to make heat and light and like fuel our cars. But fossil fuels are also really bad for our environment, because they go up into our atmosphere and they slowly disintegrate our ozone layer, which is a layer around our Earth that prevents our Earth from overheating. But as it gets smaller, the Earth is getting hotter and hotter, which caused sea levels to rise, icebergs to melt, and polar bears to lose their homes. So I wanted to prevent that from happening.
That's very cool. And a very good reason as well to move into something like this. I know you had a conversation not too long ago with a gentleman with the Department of Transportation. What did he think of your invention?
Well, he said it was like possible to do, and like it could work. And we also were talking about like the future of transportation and like driverless cars and stuff like that, and he said my invention could work.
That's very cool.
Wow, that is pretty cool. Hey Lily, real quick, when you were creating the prototype, which is awesome that you have, how long did it take you to develop the prototype, or did you just get it right away, get it started working right away?
Well, most of my problems were actually my prototype, not the invention itself, because I had to make everything work, and I couldn't just make it look like it's real life, because there'd be lots of cars going, and like there'd be like one long roller which I couldn't find on Amazon and stuff. So a couple of my problems were that my car was getting stuck on the cardboard. Like, as you can see, the light bulb isn't lighting up at all. It's because this side of the car didn't have an easy energy roller to roll on. So it couldn't make energy. So I just, in real life, there would be one big one, but I had to take a exclusive cap and I put it under the car so the tire would be lifted up. Wow. So it would like sort of support it. And then there's a wall here, and I know in real life there wouldn't just be a wall on an easy pass, but I couldn't make a lot of cars going on it over and over and over because I didn't have that many cars. So
I could have lent you some. I'm stepping on them all the time at my house.
I had to take one car, and I kept running into the wall, so the tires kept moving on the roller.
That's so funny. Well, that's great. I mean, in your mind, you know, I talk to a lot of people who sometimes say, oh, a prototype is not needed. You can go right to manufacturing and right to design work. But obviously, you know, just from what you told us, do you believe that you definitely have to make some prototypes, right, to make sure your idea is manufacturable and it works, right? So prototypes are very important.
Plus, it's a lot harder to describe your specific invention if you didn't have a prototype to show somebody. I mean, it becomes clear very quickly what you're doing and how this works, and that it does work, because you can tell even by the simple setup you put together with a light that it generates electricity. So do you have any idea about how much, well, first of all, what would you do with the harnessed energy? Let's say you had all the decisions were up to Lily.
Yeah.
And you got to say, okay, this is what we do with this power that we're going to store now. What do you think you would do with the power or with the electricity that you're making?
Yeah. So it would be like transported from like maybe like underground pipes or something. And it would be used to like light up our homes and heat up our homes without using fossil fuels.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. And you could power up some pizza places too, just in case the power goes out.
You could put this on every delivery vehicle for pizzas too.
What's also funny is that cars actually produce fossil fuels, and I'm using something bad for the environment to be used for something good.
That's great. I don't know that it's funny. I think it's really admirable that you can turn something that's a negative into something that's a positive force for the environment. Yeah. So are you going to invent again, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I already have an idea for next year.
Okay. Without divulging too much of it, can you share a little of it with us without giving us the – maybe share what problem you're solving.
Yeah, so I'm solving rainwater, or plastic, getting washed into the ocean by the street, because when it rains, all the plastic gets into like the sewers, and it washes all the plastic into the ocean. So I was thinking of stuff to prevent that from happening, and just the water getting.
Yeah, nice. I often wonder how that stuff gets in the ocean. I know there's some countries that probably dump stuff in the ocean, but I was taking the little rings off my soda the other day, and you know they always tell you to cut them so that the animals don't get stuck in them. But I'm like, how is this getting into the ocean to start with? I mean, who's putting this into the ocean? So what you're saying is a lot of that stuff gets there just from the runoff from rain and from farm runoff and different runoff that causes it to just float into the ocean then. Well, that's a great idea. So you're really all about the environment, aren't you? So is your sister.
Yeah.
Who have been your strong role models in that area?
So my sister, I've always been inspired by her to invent, because her first invention, garden. really far, and my hopes and all that stuff. And she works at this place that helps the environment. So I wanted to make something like that.
That's really nice. And are your parents supportive of you?
Yes. My mom helped me a lot. Like, she asked me a lot of questions to get me ready for, like, my school and then Venture Convention, which I took first, and then for nationals and all that stuff.
That's nice. So did you go to the national program last year?
Yes.
At the Henry Ford?
Yeah, I got recognized inventor.
Very nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, Lily, your mom is definitely a busy invention support team. There's no doubt. With all the inventors in your household and all the different products. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. So what was the hardest part about making the Easy Energy invention?
I think the hardest part was making my prototype, because I had to get a lot of stuff to make it. And I have a lot of problems with my prototype, and I had to make the whole thing work with it. So
do you think perseverance might be one of the most needed skills to be an inventor?
Definitely.
Keep trying, yeah.
Because a lot of problems along the way, like I kept have to edit it. And actually my poster board, it took a long time, and I had to add stuff when I added stuff to my prototype, and it took a lot of work.
A lot of times I hear from young inventors that the hardest part of inventing is actually coming up with a problem to solve. It doesn't sound like with you that that's an issue. It sounds like you might have a hard time deciding which problem to solve, because there are so many.
I just think of how important the environment is to me, and I always come up with ideas to try to help the environment. It's just last year, skiing was a really big problem because I got really cold, but right now I'm focusing on the environment and trying to help it.
So the gloves you made for that first year, the thumb gloves, I can't remember what you called them.
Thermal thumbs.
Do you use those? Is it usable, or is it still kind of an idea form?
Still kind of an idea form, but I use them up, and I use them skiing a lot.
You should hit up the major manufacturers of those hand warmers and tell them you've got an idea to sell them.
Yeah.
They need to add a thumb. I can't imagine what they were thinking when they didn't add the thumbs to start with, but it's like making foot warmers but leaving the big toe off. I mean, why?
Yeah, and there's like heated gloves, and those work for me, but for some reason my thumb, like, always gets cold no matter what. And with thermal thumbs, they just always get warm.
Okay, well, I have another question for you that's totally unrelated to invention, but somebody snuck some information to me, and so I got to know about this. I've never heard of this before, but I understand you are a 3-time national competitor in Ninja Warrior.
What?
Ninja Warrior.
What is that, and what does that mean that, you know, we got to be careful around you?
It doesn't really have to do anything with ninja. It's like an obstacle course that you go on, and you can't touch the floor, and there's really hard obstacles along the way. There's like things that you have to hang by your fingertips, and like things that have to like jump to both hands and like balance on stuff. But it's really hard, and you have to go really fast on them too if you want to get like a first, second, or third place. But I really like it.
Well, how did you get so good at it? I mean, are you always jumping off your parents' furniture? Did you pretend that lava was everywhere when you were really little?
Yeah, downstairs I always put like bean bags and like chairs everywhere and like jumping on them. Actually, outside right now, that I have a ninja course, like a mini one.
Wow. Next time we talk, I want to see a picture of that.
That is awesome.
Because I broke my arm a couple weeks ago, and I just took my cast off, and he said I can't do ninja for 3 more weeks.
Is that how you broke your arm?
I broke it falling off my bike.
Oh my God.
That's not even a ninja competition, and you broke it off something easy like that. So I was expecting then, are you going to end up with some kind of invention related to breaking your arm by falling off your bike?
Yeah, I'm also a ninja.
Bike airbag.
I get rips. It's like when I go on obstacles too much, my skin rubs off and it like peels off and it gets like red and it hurts a lot. I get like blisters everywhere on my arm. And here's a picture of me doing it.
Oh my gosh.
National competition.
How was that? Is that a recent picture?
Yeah, it was last year. I was in nationals.
That is so cool.
Yeah. This is me on like steps and running across them.
So are you allowed to wear any kind of protective gear when you're doing that?
No, I just have to wear sneakers and shirt and shorts.
So you can't create something to protect your arms and your hands and stuff that would be not acceptable in the competition?
Well, you can wear chalk on your hands, which is easier to grip onto, but that you can't wear like any gloves, like sticky gloves or like anything like that.
Julie, Ninja Warriors do not wear protective stuff.
They wear, okay. I just pictured them in all black cloaked with, you know, with black gloves on and black shoes so you can't see them when they sneak up in the middle of the night. And
also, like, we have to get all ninjas to, like, want all their, like, perfect, like, shoes because the better, like, the stickier the shoes are, it's easier to, like, get up stuff or, like, climb on stuff.
Sticky shoes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do they make, sticky shoes?
It's like, these like these shoes that have like they're not really sticky.
Is it more suction?
They're grippy.
Grippy. So are you competing again in this?
Yeah, I'm competing a lot in it. And I have classes I go to, like practices.
Who puts on ninja classes?
Ninjas. Hello.
In Danbury they put it on also. Gymnastic Spectrum. It's like this gym like in Danbury. Also, it's also a show. It's called American Ninja Warrior. And I do it except in like a kid version. It's basically
I love that show.
I have not seen that show. I am gonna have to look it up now. So listen, please promise me that if there's something that we can watch you on TV, that you're going to send us a note to say, all right, Julie and Carmine, get your pizzas ready. The show is going to start. We will watch you.
My mom might send you guys some videos of me doing
that. Would be, yeah. I'll put them on my Facebook page. Even if it's not related to innovation, you're an innovator and it's cool to know what innovators do in their spare time. And apparently you're a ninja in your spare time. All right, so one last question for you, because I know we've taken a lot of your time today. There's going to be other young people watching this or listening to the podcast later who are considering figuring out how to become inventors. And what message would you have for those kids as to whether to move forward and maybe something inspirational for them?
I would say, keep persevering through your invention process and always try to help the environment and like help solve problems that you have and always just try to make the world better.
That's very nice. Thank you, Lily. Very good. I think of all of the interviews that we've done with young inventors over this last whole season, I never really hear anybody who's in this because they think they're going to get rich or they just want to make the next coolest thing. It's always about empathy. They have empathy either for their world or for the people there that surround them or for some group of people. It's all about empathy. And I don't think I've met an inventor who has no empathy. Maybe you have, Carmine, because you've done this on a larger scale with adults. But I think that's really cool. That great message, yeah. Lily.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You're exactly right. And I think it's true throughout the young adults and most, I'd say, if not all, of not only the competitions you and I have co-hosted and scheduled and talked to, but so many of the inventions are right along that path. So that's one of the reasons that I think you and I and the rest of your team loves doing this is because it's not just, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to make some money. There's nothing wrong with doing that if you have a great idea, but it is so nice to have that breath of fresh air that people are out there trying to better the world. It's really great. So Lily, thank you so much. It's one of the best things. And this has been a great interview, right? Right, Julie?
It is. It has been. Lily, how old are you?
I'm 10.
Great interview, especially for a 10-year-old young innovator / ninja.
It's been amazing.
We wish you the best of luck in the future and expect to see you on here again talking about your newest invention and or about your ninja skills. You might be able to teach us something. You have to burn off that pizza somehow.
All right. So
just want to do a last reminder, folks, to go on to innovationworld.org if you're looking to become a student host for one of our field trips, if you'd like to participate as a presenter or an audience member of the Global Innovation Field Trip on July 9th and 10th. Carmine and I will be there with our many other hosts this time from different countries. And then if you're interested in the summer challenges, check those out too. They're on innovationworld.org.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lily.
Thank you, Lily, so much. Thanks, everyone. And if you can, if you get a chance, please go on out to Google Play or iTunes. Leave us a message or a review. We could really use it. Spread the word about innovationworld.org. We could use the help. And we will catch you next time on Innovation World. You all take care.
Thank you for joining us today for the Innovation World podcast and the Launch Network. Innovation World is your go-to source for all things innovation, invention, and entrepreneurship. Our website is www.innovationworld.org.